Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday, but let's talk about it, Tuesday, Church Folk Day, and we talked about it. Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, we started off with the things that you should never keep after its expiration date. Oh, my goodness. Now, generally, I don't go over these little tips like this, but yesterday, some stuff that was on that list, man, such as hydrogen peroxide, which you should only keep 2 months after its expiration date. Yes, yes, because it says it pretty much turns into water. Whoa. And if you try to use it, there's a potential that you can have an infection. Yes. Because you don't know what you're putting any longer on that boo-boo. Yes. Okay, what else? Gasoline. Gasoline. They say gasoline in your car should only be there from 30 to 60 days. Ooh. How about those of us who have those cars that are parked for our usage every once in a while? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Let's make sure we get that gasoline used up, y'all. And for those of us who live in the cold climate, remember, we have to make sure we keep our tank at least 50% in order to keep the gas from freezing up on us. Yes. Oh, now, if you want to find out some of the other things that we should not be using past the expiration period, you're going to have to go back to yesterday's broadcast because I don't know how many more, but I will be continuing that conversation tomorrow, Godspeed. Well, what else did we talk about? Oh, we talked about the 61-year-old gentleman who went berserk in the lumber store because he was asked by a representative to put a mask on. Well, he hit the man with lumber. He attacked the worker. He also attacked a police officer with a hammer in his head. And the wife says, well, he's been going through a bit of anxiety and depression and PTSD from being in the military. Well, we got to talking with Pastor A, because this is something to be concerned about. Yes, you can't be walking around hitting people in the head with a hammer just because you got some PTSD going on. Somebody got to do something about you. Well, definitely so. When the judge only gave him 1 year of prison time, as well as 10 years probation. Oh, no. What are we doing? Well, we also spoke about the woman or young lady, we don't know which one, but the baby, little Tashawn, who was left in the cold. Yes, out in Alaska in 12 below wind chill factor in a cardboard box. He was born December 31st, and mom left a very heart-wrenching note about why she left him in the box and abandoned opposed to keeping him. Yes. Now, the top story of the morning for our church folk was Devon Franklin and his wife, Megan Good, who are now divorcing after 9 years of marriage. Now, for those of you who don't know Devon Franklin, he is a preacher, minister, pastor, some level of clergy, counselor. He's also a producer in Hollywood. And he's kind of out there. He's kind of out there in the clergy world. And Megan Good, we all know who she is, the actress. Well, they made a public statement, and we started to dissect it yesterday. Yeah, you know, they are divorcing, but their love is eternal. Yeah. See, if you want to hear more details about our conversation and what we had to say, because all three of the pastors were on yesterday, and the conversation was quite good yesterday, and we're continuing that conversation, God spares, next week. So go back, as I always like to say, go back and listen to, you know, the conversation, because it was quite good yesterday. Yes, sirree. All right? And that's how we spent our Let's Talk About It Tuesday church folk day. Okay? Well, today is Wow Wednesday, and it is locked and loaded over here as always. Well, we're having one adjustment going forward as of the new year, and I'll tell you about that. There will be an adjustment to our Wow Wednesday lineup, and we can't wait for Vivian to come on and give us her socially conscious segment to get us jump-started into our morning. And I don't know what Vivian is going to talk about this morning. She always gives us our morning chatter before we get to our main topic with the women of worship. So I'm sure she's all prepared. And are you prepared? Have you taken the time to get that healthy breakfast? Oh, come on. Let me run down the list. Fiber, oatmeal, sardines. What do you call that thing? What else? Healthy breakfast. Pomegranate juice. That's what I want to say. Pomegranate juice. And we want to make sure you take the time to tell a friend that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And we want to make sure that you don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
An important message for people with diabetes. Diabetic neuropathy is a serious complication of diabetes. 1 in 2 people with diabetes has it. Damaged nerves can cause stinging, burning, tingling, numbness, or weakness in your feet and hands. You can be very sensitive to touch, and everyday activities can cause extreme pain. But it's not too late. Contact the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES or diabetes.org, or talk to your doctor.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Woo, we have made it through half of the first week of this calendar year. God has been so gracious, and we should be so grateful for him blessing us this way, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. You know how I like to say, didn't have to. But, you know, we have safely arrived at this moment of the morning, and I'm glad we're here. What about you? Okay. Well, let's waste no more time getting to our girlfriend, Vivian. And hearing what she got to give us this morning. Let's say good morning to Vivian. Where is she? Where is she? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Here we go. Good morning, Vivian. How are you?
Good morning. Hello. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. What you got for us this morning?
All righty. Today on Socially Conscious, let's take a look at those COVID numbers. Top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are Florida, still number one, with 254,814 cases. That is an increase of over 88,000 cases since last week's report. New York City is number two, with 208,769 cases. That is an increase of over 64,000 cases since last week. California is number three with 148,200 cases. That is an increase of over 62,000 cases. New Jersey is number four with 122,142 cases. That is an increase of over 23,000 cases since last week. And Illinois is number five with 116,802 cases. That is an increase of over 57,000 cases since Illinois was in our top five 2 weeks ago. So as we can see, we're back in those 200,000 and 100,000 numbers. We are seeing numbers that we have seen when the pandemic first started, unfortunately. And all the states have seen increases in their numbers since last week. And while we are on the topic of COVID, has anyone heard of Flu-Rona? It definitely sounds like something Twitter or TikTok made up, but it's real. And this is not to scare anyone or to put awareness out there so that people can take the proper precautions as temperatures continue to drop. And as the number of COVID cases continue to rise, Flu-Rona is when an individual catches the flu and COVID at the same time. Officials are saying this is very much possible. A case was just confirmed Thursday in Israel. The infection was diagnosed in an unvaccinated pregnant woman. Reports say both tests came back positive even after doctors performed the test a second time just to be sure. They say the co-infection rate is about 0.4% in America and 4.5% in Asia. Cases have been confirmed in the U.S. and in Asia. And again, this is just to bring awareness, not to cause fear. Officials also want New Yorkers to know that the surge in cases has caused delays and other issues among MTA and sanitation department. MTA says with over 1,000 employees out sick with COVID, that commuters will notice suspensions and cancellations on multiple train routes. And sanitation says with about 25% of their employees out, garbage collection will be delayed this week. And in other news, it looks like former Governor Cuomo will be getting away with his crime even further, as Albany DA says they will be dropping groping charges against Cuomo. A statement given by Albany County District Attorney David Storrs says that basically they do not feel that they would be able to prove without a reasonable doubt what has been claimed, and thus they are dropping the charges. They are encouraging victims of workplace harassment and abuse to continue to come forward and bring these issues to light so that these important decisions can continue. And although I do not advise anyone to keep these types of issues silent, I wonder what is the point when those guilty are not being held accountable. So far, he has not seen any consequences of his decisions. He was allowed to voluntarily leave office. He has not faced any criminal charges as of yet. The only person who has really suffered from Cuomo's decisions was his brother, who got fired from his job for allegedly helping Cuomo hide these actions. So this is very discouraging for anybody who is going through these types of things in the workplace, especially with someone in power. It doesn't seem like they would be held accountable. But in other news, America is breaking records with 4.5 million American workers quitting their jobs in November of 2021 alone. The Labor Department says this is actually a good sign somehow. They say 10.6 million jobs was posted by employers in November, which is a decrease from the 11.1 million back in 2020. And in October, they say that unemployment is down to 4.2% since the beginning of the pandemic, which is a major decrease from the 14.8% that they've seen when it first began. I believe that this is because they are counting those that have become entrepreneurs this year. A lot of people have quit their jobs and decided to work for themselves. And since it's a debate about whether or not to be vaccinated, I think that jobs have really no choice. It's real slim pickings about who to hire now. Now they're just hiring those that have decided to be vaccinated or not, which is good news for people who have struggled to find a job previously. Next, there appears to be a new scam out there called the Hawkers Pike scam. A woman on Facebook posted a handwritten letter she received from an anonymous person who gave her advice on how she can improve her home. The woman's name was Jenna. She says she received a quote-unquote creepy handwritten letter detailing how to improve the look of her home's exterior. She says that the note makes it clear that this person has entered the property without permission, and says that he gave details of places on her home that can only be seen if he had access to her home. The sender gave all these details of how she can fix the window and paint the door, and then at the end of the letter, he gave her bank details asking her that if she would like to thank him or her for their advice, that she can get pay them $20. There were people posting on the post saying that this is a scam, that they have received letters as well, I guess, in the neighborhood. And they just want you to be aware. Homeowners to be aware. I don't know what kind of scam this really is. I mean, it doesn't really seem, maybe I'm just thinking they want you to know that they're watching you and maybe you'll get scared and pay the money anyway. Maybe some elderly person will be, taken advantage of. I'm not really sure, but it's a new scam that's going around. And in a bit of good news, 5 missing teenage girls have been found and 30 people have been arrested in a month-long operation in New Orleans. Reports say multiple agencies, including the U.S. Marshals, have participated in Operation Boudat from October to December. And the operation resulted in the rescue of teens ages 14 to 17 who were endangered and missing. Two of the girls recovered were sisters ages 15 and 16 who were victims of sex trafficking. Reports say that of the 30 people arrested, 17 of them were charged with felony sex offender registration violation, including a 17-year-old girl who was arrested on human trafficking charges and who has been known to have prior ties to several female runaways from New Orleans. So this is definitely great news to hear. This is the second operation that we have reported that I can remember that resulted in rescuing the innocent and arresting the guilty. And now for our wow story of the week. One woman is under fire after she posted a TikTok that says she makes her boyfriend FaceTime her during his entire 12-hour shift at work. Neela has posted several pictures and videos on TikTok explaining that her boyfriend Josh has to stay on the phone with her the entire time he's at work, not because she doesn't trust him, but because she doesn't trust females. Josh works at an Amazon warehouse and has posted that he believes his girlfriend is toxic because not only does she make him FaceTime her during his shift at work, but she makes him send her pictures and screenshots of the time he clocks out so she can time how long it takes him to get back to her. Neela has also said she was thinking about quitting her job so she can work with her boyfriend. She tried to justify what she does by saying, quote, "My boyfriend is my only friend, so when he's at work, I feel sad, depressed, etc." End quote. And in my opinion, they both needed to be prayed for this past Sunday because she is definitely toxic, and he's staying with her, so he must like it. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Oh, my, did you just say the key word when you said we need to be praying for some folks? Oh, my goodness gracious. I just got a question. What's the name of the scam? Hawkers, did you say?
Yes, Hawkers.
Okay, okay, I did get it right, okay. Well, first of all, I want to talk about these COVID numbers. Girl, these COVID numbers are out of control. Now, here's the thing, Viv. Although these numbers have matched numbers that we started with last year, you know, when everything got shut down, we didn't have this issue of not being able to test. Let's talk about that. You know, where people
not being
here
able to
in
what?
New York test. You can't test. The lines are out of control. There are some people
right.
that are online from 6 o'clock in the morning, and by 8 o'clock in the morning, they waited for 2 hours. They can't get to the front of the line. They have shut the lines down by the time, you know, they're posted on the website that you should be able to go in and get your testing. But at the end of the day, by the time you get there, they have signs posted that you know, that they've shut down. They no longer have tests. They can't take any more people. Oh, my goodness. Have you heard about this?
I have. I've also heard that they're not testing you unless you make an appointment with a doctor. They used to, like, pay for it, the city, I guess, but now they want you to make an appointment with a doctor so that your insurance will pay for it. I've heard that they won't test you. Like, if you say, oh, I've been exposed to somebody who tested positive, they tell you to go home and come back in 5 days, and then they'll test you. Yeah, it's getting real ridiculous.
Well, that's something that they did say last year. You know, they was like, okay, you remember they just even told you don't even come. Remember, they was like, okay, if you have any symptoms, excuse me, of what you think might be COVID, don't even bother to come in. Just stay home quarantine for 14 days. Well, pretty much that's what you're doing, because either they can't, you can get tested, or your test results. Somebody told me that their test results took 2 weeks. Well, by that time, it's 14 days, Viv.
Right.
You ain't even got to worry about
walking around. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you weren't smart enough, you know, or you know, concerned enough just to kind of stay home and quarantine, you've been walking around infecting everybody and trying to figure out if you really had COVID. You know, so now this is now, and I can't speak for the other, you know, for the other states, but this is one of the reasons why New York is, you know, not only it, the fact that we're just on top of one another here, but, you know, this is one of the reasons why we're at such a high rate of infections. So that's also because
a lot of people are asymptomatic. You test positive, but you don't have any symptoms. So you don't know until it's too late, and now you've infected everybody around you.
Mm-hmm,
so
it's
definitely crazy time.
Absolutely. And this flu rona, flu and COVID mix, that's not surprising to me. You know, they said even last year that the increase would come when flu season came along, and with this particular variant, it has every bit of the flu-like look. So you don't even really know what you got. So I'm actually not surprised about this mix. Too bad for the pregnant woman, but definitely not surprised about the mix. So thank you so much, Viv, for your information here and your socially conscious information. We pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Now that we've heard Vivian's socially conscious items, let's talk to our ladies. Let's say good morning to our Elder Night Tisha Moore. Good morning, Elder Night Tisha.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you, my dear. How are you?
I am good. I'm good.
That's good. That's good. All righty. You know my question. Which one of these stories are you going to hit this morning?
Oh, my gosh. There were so many to talk about. But one of the things that I'm passionate about, I'll talk about, is I'm excited about the bus up for the sex trafficking ring. So one of the other parts of me, there are many parts to me, but one of the other parts of me is that I belong to, I'm a crisis worker for sex trafficking. And that's something I really take seriously. So I really am excited to hear that, because usually it's very difficult to break into these rings. And then the aftermath with what has to happen and the brainwashing that has taken place in the lives of these young women who experience that. It is traumatic and it is long. It is a long process.
Wow.
The rhythm of that. So we thank God for their freedom.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's okay. So let me ask you this. The 30 people that were found, amongst them was a 17-year-old young lady who has been connected with other sex trafficking crimes. Do you think that she may have been a victim?
Okay. So in most cases, yes. Yep. In most cases, the way that works is that she was groomed from a young girl. So she most likely was taken when she was a adolescent, from like 10 to 12 years old. That grooming began, and then they use her now to lure in other teenage girls. And so, and most times it's like, it's not just money. Some people will say, oh, you know, she probably was getting paid. They probably was paying her, and so she was doing it for the money. And the truth is, it doesn't work like that. They groom these young girls from early ages. One of the youngest, one of the young ladies that I'm working with right now, from the time she was 7 years old. She was grooming.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Mm. And you know, you've heard that before, you know, where they use these young ladies who have, you know, been through this before because they know what to do. You know, they know, that, like you said, they've been groomed and trained and, you know, they know what to do. They know who to look for. And,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately,
And they target foster care system. That's important to note, too. They target the foster care system. So these young ladies who they know don't have families, these young ladies that they know, really there won't be people who will be looking for them because they're from the foster care. And once you kind of start getting ready to age out, the prime age they look for are the 17, the 16, 17, 15-year-olds because they know that you're getting ready to age out of the foster care system and you're looking for a sense of belonging. And so they, similar to how gangs, you know, kind of format that
where they have this belonging.
The same type of sisterhood, believe it or not, that same type of sisterhood is forged in these sex trafficking rings, and they look for young ladies who are aging out of the foster care system.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. Are they really taking them to other countries, or are they right here in the United States?
They're right here in the United States. Right here in the United States.
Wow. We need to really do a study. I know that's one of Shantice's passions as well. And we really need to do a study on that, because especially, you know, with all of this stuff coming out. And, you know, we've even heard of people going up in the churches. You know, you're talking about people who, you know, are in the foster care system who, you know, a lot of people aren't paying attention to when they're about to age out and blah, blah, blah. But they have been known to go up into the church and, you know, call out and you know, kind of brainwash and, you know, pull those young ladies right out of the church from underneath our noses. Have you heard about that as well?
Yeah, listen, they target, they prey on the insecurities of young girls. They prey on, like, they can identify. There's actually a type that they look for to be able to identify whether or not this is someone that they will be able to groom, whether they will be able to actually, you know, lure based on their insecurities. So they will get them from everywhere. Mm. It just so happens that the percentage is higher amongst young ladies from the foster care system, but they're from everywhere. They're from churches. They're from schools. They're from college campuses. They are from everywhere because they play on the young person the young lady who feels like she doesn't have a sense of belonging, the young person who has security issues. So you start telling them how beautiful they are. You start telling them that their bodies, like if they see imperfections in their bodies, and there is a behavior that you kind of, you know, that women, we see it amongst each other. You can see when a woman is not confident in herself. You can sense when a woman's not comfortable with her body. And those are the ones that they target because they can make you feel beautiful. And in that beauty, they pervert it and distort it and tell you, now you should, you should be using this beauty for other purposes.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Woo!
Yeah, it's such
a whole lot to be
ugly,
talked about. Wow.
Yeah, it's an ugly perversion. It's distorted truth, right, which is what we understand, you know, sin to be, the distortion of truth. And that's exactly what it is, the distortion of truth.
Wow. Yeah, we have to do a segment on this, to make our listeners aware and, you know, keep our eyes and ears open, again, especially if it's staying contained right here in the United States. You know, then we're not, we can't look across the seas, you know,
right,
and stuff, and it's right here underneath our mm-hmm. noses. Ooh, all right. Thank you very much,
yeah.
Elder Natisha, for that information this morning. We thank you
absolutely.
So much for joining us today, and we're absolutely happy to have you on. Let's say good morning to Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you, to our ladies, and of course, we can't forget our listeners.
Good morning to you. How are you today?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. All right. What story do you want to cover this morning?
So my heart goes out to this lady, you know, who caught flu-rona, you know, the flu mm-hmm. and corona combined. And her predicament is one that, you know, when you're pregnant, you know, they discourage you from taking any type of medication. So, you know, we mm-hmm, all, whenever mm-hmm. we're not feeling well, very few people, you know, I'm one of the few, I don't like taking medicine, but just to get rid of all of whatever, you know, I'll do whatever it is that I can naturally and then, you know, whatever else, just to get rid of it because I, you know, and to be in a situation where you're pregnant, you're worried about the welfare of your child, the welfare of your specific health, and then you have not just the flu, but corona on top, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This new variant is very similar to the flu in itself. So, you
right,
know, you figure
right,
in
right.
your own mind, you know, most people that I've spoken with, the first thing they say is, oh, I thought I had the flu. Meanwhile,
mm-hmm.
you have actually gone out and engaged with everybody thinking, oh, it's just the flu. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
days later, then everybody that you've been around now has, you know, what you thought was the flu. My heart,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it just keeps advancing and advancing. And it's just, you know, which lets you know there's still so much research that needs to be done. And we haven't even touched the surface yet.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like you said, you know, they don't want you to take anything. And, you know, the first thing, you know, you do when you have the flu is, you know, you go out and you start taking Theraflu and this thing and all kind of things and, you know, that make you feel better. And, you know, we do know that they now have some things that are safer. You know, it's not as bad as it was years ago when they didn't let you take anything. Now they do have some things that are safe for you supposedly, but generally, you know, women who are pregnant just really try to stay away from taking anything because it's your body. You have no idea how your body is going or your baby is going to respond, you know, to whatever it is you take. So I do, my heart goes out to her as well because you don't only have, you know, your body to worry about. You've got an unborn child that you're carrying around that you have to be concerned with. And having corona by itself, Lady Tamika, is enough for a pregnant woman, you know, to be concerned about, right? And now you got to be concerned about some other stuff.
Well, not only that, you know, you think about it, pregnancy in itself, you have issues, you know. For instance,
right.
you know, your body aches. That's not something that's, you know, unheard of. It's normal for your body to hurt, you know, your thighs hurt, your legs hurt, your back hurts.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
you might think, okay, well, this is just, you know, normal. You know, you may have a runny
right.
nose. Those are things that happen. So you may go along not knowing for a moment. It all depends on, you know, the severity or, you know, what it is specifically that changes for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you with us today. And we're going to talk to our Pastor Kim. Let's say good morning to Pastor Kim. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And praise the Lord, everybody.
How are you, Pastor Kim?
I'm good. How are you all?
Well, thank you. Well, 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 thank you so much. Pastor Kim, I know you came in on part of the Socially Conscious segment. But what caught your attention this morning?
Oh, wow, everything.
Okay. What you going to talk about?
Quite a bit this morning. Oh, boy. Oh, God. These numbers, you know, I'm just in awe with these numbers, and this virus is really, I mean, and now to even talk about another new virus, this corona flu, and I'm like, it's like, okay, it's just putting a name on everything, you know, and I'm just in a place of like, okay, Lord, I need you to just really give me some insight on what's really going on, because, you know, I can really understand how this could really have people in a place of uncertainty. You know, I mean, for people, I'll say, that don't really know God, I can just imagine that this would really just scare the living daylights out of people, because and have them really walking around in fear because of the fact of, okay, you see this thing is real. You see that it's truly taking people out. I'm going to be honest, and I know I'm a very strong person, but Pastor Steph, when I tell you, when I got so many calls on this week, not to mention this good childhood friend of mine passing away from COVID. His mother has COVID.
Wow.
They haven't even told her that her son has died, you know, because they don't want her to have like a, you know, one of our autistic children, their whole family had it, and the young mother died. When they told me that, you know, I mean, then another friend called, says him and his wife got it, and then somebody else called, not to mention both of my daughters having it. So, you know, we see that this thing is real. We see that people are leaving here. Then, you know, not to mention that they want us to go back into the school. What? They want me to start back school tomorrow. And why do I have to come back? Why do the paraeducators have to come back and the teachers don't? You know, I'm confused.
Really?
So we have to go into a building.
Really?
No children are going to be there, but I got to drive all the way across town to just sit in front of a computer, and I can do that at home. It's just not making sense to me.
Wow. So the school is going to still be closed, and the children are going to be remote. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're
going to
be virtual, but they have, like, designated people that still have to come, the custodian workers. If you're if you work in the kitchen, if you're a trainable aide or ASD or the all aides, the ESC, the janitors, several people, they still have to go in. Into the building.
Wow.
So we'll just be like in
I'll
just be in like my classroom by myself with the teacher that I'm in the class with, but she'll be at home teaching online, but I have to come into the building with her, you know, to join in with her in the room.
Wow. Oh my goodness. You know, Pastor Kim, we have to really, you know, keep all of this lifted before the Lord, because it's just widespread. There's this low-key pandemonium, if you will. And like you said, you know, there are people who are really afraid. And I've spoken to some people who have said they're just scared. And, you know, I always say, Pastor Kim, you know, it's so, like you said, it's so good to know the Lord. It doesn't mean if we're not concerned. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's not some things that kind of really get our attention or send our alarms up. But you don't walk around in fear. And that's just a blessing in and of itself. To be where you are and constantly get all of these phone calls or constantly, you know, find out about all of these different cases and still not walk around fearful, but just praying and staying faithful to God. And, you know, it has to be, you know, a blessing to you to hear all of this and to know God.
Are you the Pastor Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
You know,
I couldn't imagine being in this life, in this time, and not knowing and having God in my life. I could not.
Mm-hmm.
I could not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no wonder
yeah.
people are out here smoking and drinking and, you know, doing the most, because they're trying to suppress, you know, all of these feelings and emotions and just not knowing what's going on in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's a lot.
Absolutely.
Especially
such
when it's
a blessing.
Affecting children.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It's really,
the, you know. Yeah.
Now it's getting the
yeah.
children.
Yeah, and that, this is, you know, I've heard so many children's names called out. I'm like, oh, every time I hear it, my whole heart just drops, you know, to hear,
yeah.
you know, that they're ill with this, you know, with this virus, because, again, we don't know, you know, how it's going to affect
yeah.
any individual, you know, who contracts this. And yeah, this, it's you got to know the Lord. You got to know
the Lord.
They say
it's 600 essential workers in the hospital that have it. So my
wow.
thing is, if
wow.
these people that are vaccinated, double
yep.
vaccinated and
yep.
boosted and being
yep.
so super
yep.
careful, how
right
are people still getting it?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It begs to, you know, it makes you think. It makes you think, because I have a friend who is a nurse, and let me tell you what he told me. He said that you better not go in there telling people that you went and tested, because when you tell people you were tested, they get mad at you, because they're like, why would you go get tested? Because what they don't want you to expose if you are ill, because if you're ill, you need to come up off that job. And they don't, it's almost like, if we don't know won't hurt us. So if you don't know, we don't know. And if you're still, you know, covering up and taking care of yourself and blah, 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 now you don't have, you know, you can just continue to work. And you think about this stuff here. And I said to him, well, you want to know if you're infected? Forget about, you know, anybody else, Pastor Kim. I want to know if I'm infected.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in that field, it's almost like a no-no. You do not go get tested, so that you don't have to tell people that you are actually ill and you can continue to work, because there are so many people who are already out, who are essential workers in the
See?
Hospital, who can no longer be there.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
It's crazy.
This is really, really crazy. And like you said, you know, these are people. And he said the same thing. He said, Steph, we're masked up. We've got on two gowns. We've got on 2-3 masks. We've got
mm-hmm,
shields
mm-hmm.
on. He said, and this
shields
stuff
all
is
of that.
Not, it do, yeah, yeah. He said, it doesn't even matter. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, it's not like this is something somebody's telling me. He said, we are geared up. So like you said, all
mm-hmm.
of these people, you know, and not only that, now you have people who come in the hospital who don't have it, who now have it. They now have the
mm.
virus because maybe somebody who works has infected them. So this is some kind of serious issue right here. So thank
mm-hmm.
you so much, Pastor Kim, for joining us today. So happy to have you. I want to talk to you, ladies. We got an extra a few times. So before we go any further, so our techie talk no longer be with us. He's moved on to larger horizons, and he's not going to be able to join us in the mornings anymore. I am not going to replace that segment at all. It's run its course. He's been with us for a year and a half. From the very first week he was with us. So we give God thanks for all of the information that we've received. you know, over the year and a half, and we're going to move on. You know, I'll find something else later on, whatever God has for us, you know, we'll move on. So going forward, we'll have an extra couple of minutes to do what we do, ladies. Have an extra couple of minutes. Do what we do. So I want to talk about the woman who posted on TikTok about her boyfriend, who she must follow him for this 12 hours on his job, how she is considering quitting her job to work with him over at Amazon because he's her only friend, and she's lonely. Well, if she got a job, how you lonely? Before I even get started, Elder Natisha, you want to weigh in on this here situation?
Oh, yeah, honey.
My sentiments exactly.
You know, and this is why, you know, she's a prime candidate for us to evangelize to. I think
right,
this is someone
right.
who needs to know Jesus. This is someone who needs to know that Jesus is her only real friend, right? Because she's
mm-hmm.
going through all of these things to hold on to something that is human, to hold on to something that is
mm-hmm.
that is bound to fail. Right? The Bible says that the arms of flesh will fail us every time.
Right.
We're holding on
right.
tightly to something that
mm-hmm.
is not guaranteed. And
right.
to me,
right.
so what happens if this young man ever decides to break up with her? What happens
mm-hmm.
to this young lady
mm-hmm.
if he decides
mm-hmm.
today or tomorrow that he no longer wants to be in relationship with her? What's going, will she harm herself? What will become of her? And so,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
she is definitely someone that, you know, those who are on Twitter who may have seen this, that, you know, will be willing to just inbox and establish relationship and begin to evangelize. I think, you know, God will bless us for doing so, because that's someone who really can stand to get to know Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ah, Tamika, what say you when you hear this, you know, this issue of I need to see when you punch in, I need to see when you punch out? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Before you do that, hold on. Did Vivian say how old she was?
No, she didn't.
I don't recall her saying
that. Thank you. Vivian, did you catch the age of this young lady?
No, they didn't give an age.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Okay. I didn't think so either, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it. Okay, Tamika, what you got? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, the thing about that, and Elder Natisha is so right, you know, that absence of God causes us to now look at self and be physical. And I'm not even talking about,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about I need
right,
to
right.
have a physical person there with me.
Mm-hmm,
I need to be able
mm-hmm.
to put my eyes on you at any time of the day, you know. And that causes stress for this gentleman. I'm sure, you know, he's probably dropped the phone a couple of times because he's got to bend over to pick something up, or, you know, and I mean, that's putting a lot of extra stress on this individual. And I mean, we know relationships, especially considering the fact that this is not a marriage, you're dating, you know, things happen. You know, relationships change. People's mindsets change. Suppose today is the day, well, you know what, I'm really kind of tired of this, you know, can I get a break today? Maybe I just don't want to, if there's nothing wrong with us, maybe I just need my alone time. So he gets no alone
mm-hmm,
time because
mm-hmm.
you're at him all day long. So he doesn't get
right.
a time to reset. And you know how men are, men have times when, you know, hey, I just don't feel like talking. And there's nothing wrong. I might want to watch TV right now, or maybe I want to play a game. I can't play a game, and you sitting there watching me the whole time. Can I just unwind and do me for a little while? You know, that's a lot of pressure for an individual.
Yeah.
Really a lot of pressure.
Absolutely. You know, and it's madness. Come on, Pastor Kim, what goes through your mind when you hear this kind of behavior?
Well, you know, the first thing I started thinking about was, okay, you got trust issues, but number one, you know, because obviously if you feel the need that you have to go to that degree for him to have to validate all of his going and his coming and, you know, punching in and showing this and that, staying on the phone. Obviously, you have trust issues. So my thing is, you know, what's going on with you? First of all, why do you not trust him that you feel like that you, you know, have to go through all of this? I mean, have he broken your trust? Because I feel like it's important to always get to the root of a problem or get to the root of a situation of why somebody does what they do. You know, because if she's doing that, it's for a reason. You know, you got trust issues or you got something going on with you mentally, where, you know, you got some mental issues where you feel like you've dealt with a spirit of abandonment, where you're afraid, you know, and you feel like you have to keep him in close proximity however you can to feel close, to just have a reassurance that I know where you are. I know that you're coming back. I know that, you know, what you're doing at all times. So, you know, That's a concern, but, you know, you can't put your confidence in man because, yes, man will leave you. They'll turn their back on you. But, yes, she needs Jesus. She needs to get to know God because, you know, I thought about when I heard that, I started thinking about the times that I've had some jealousy and some, you know, some lack of trust issues, you know, where I might, you know, be doing stuff like, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, or like in the mornings, like when my husband is driving to work or something, you know, or I would say something like, call me when you make it, or I would call him. The enemy would get in my mind and be telling me different things like, you know, he probably taking somebody to work with him. He probably got somebody ratting with him and different things like, you know, just crazy stuff, you know. But that's why you got to cast down every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, because the enemy will get in your mind and you will have your mind racing. The devil will create a picture, you know, and have you thinking, oh, you know, he probably ain't go to work today. That's why he ain't called you on his lunch break. All this crazy stuff. And you got to shut it down real fast because it's real.
This
mind is real.
Absolutely.
The mind is real, and you have to take control over your mind. You really do.
Amen.
You really do.
Yes, you do.
Because he
knows
how to create an illusion. And one day I remember getting in the car, and I looked down on the mat of the car, and it looked like the mat was wet or something. It looked like somebody might have been sitting over in the passenger seat or something like that. And I was like, who been sitting over here? And so, so it probably, I think it had snowed or something, and you probably had put the shovel or something over there. I mean, the scraper or whatever over there, and it might have put some water on the floor. And I felt so stupid, you know what I'm saying? Because he was like, what is wrong with you? And I really had to just say, Kim, you know, you really over the edge. You tripping. This menopause sometimes can just make you be so, you know what I'm saying, y'all? Y'all
you're right.
Some
you're right.
Know what I'm
absolutely.
About. We
yes,
can just get
right.
Quite
right. All been there.
And he'd be
like,
and he'd be like, crazy K, there you go. Yeah. There you go tripping again. You know, so.
Crazy K? Look, oh, my
God.
You got a new name. Crazy K.
Oh,
kid.
My goodness.
So, you know,
no, but you're right,
I have
Pastor
to,
Kim.
And this
you're
is
right.
just,
and everybody is different, you know, but, you know, for me, I have to learn how to ask God to take control of my mind, because sometimes I do, you know, I trip every now and then because, you know, I'm at that age that I still go through the PMS, you know, syndromes where they still hit me, even though I don't, you know, I still go through those moments of getting cray-cray, you know, and my mind gets tripping and stuff sometimes. And I really, you know, I be asking, you know, about the coworkers and, you know, stuff like that, you know, and the cupcakes the other day when one of the managers had ordered these cupcakes that we wanted. And so then when he had left out the house to go to the store, I said, well, where the cupcakes at? And so he said, I left them in the car. And so my man was just saying, you see the cupcakes ain't cold like they've been sitting in the car. He probably went and picked them up from her house. Y'all don't trip. Don't.
You're blessing me, Pastor Kim. You're blessing me.
Pray for your sister.
You're blessing me.
Listen,
you're blessing me.
You've all been there.
Can I be transparent and real with y'all?
I love it.
Transparent.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you're blessing a whole lot of people.
Yes, you're blessing me right now. Right now. My husband's in Dallas, and you're blessing me right now. Thank you that I'm not alone. Thank you.
I love y'all.
Listen,
every woman has been there 9 and 10 times over. You know, you when you start talking, you know, that's why I laugh when Elder and I teach you, say, you're blessing me, because, you know, as you're talking, you know, people are going over in their head when they did something similar, maybe something worse, you know, so it happens, and we understand that it happens, and that's why, you know, I love this broadcast, and I love this cast, because it's nothing for us to say, hey, okay, you know what? I done had my moment too. And we can identify with a woman who has some level of insecurity every now and then. We can identify with some woman who, you know, who trips, like you said, every now and then. We got it. We got you. We can definitely understand. We're talking about control, like you said, you know, just getting control over those things, because how many times have you had a girlfriend talk to you about her man, and now you start thinking about yours? You just see all that kind of stuff goes on, and your husband ain't even did nothing, or your man ain't even did nothing because she done brought up some stuff. You're like, she don't know last week mine did such and such and such and such a thing, and now I'm beginning to wonder, is she telling me this so I can pay attention to mine? Your head starts doing a whole lot of things. And, you know, we understand this young lady and how she can feel alone or lonely and things like that. But the goal is, how do we get these things under control? And that's the beauty of being transparent, because now we get an opportunity to minister to the woman or the man who is in this particular situation. And so here's what I want to do. We got some time. Here's what I want to do. You know, Elder Natisha, you mentioned, you know, well, hopefully someone who catches, you know, her comment on TikTok or Twitter ministers to us. Well, before we go into each of you giving a word of encouragement, a word, you know, of advice, you know, to people who might be hearing this, whether they're listening to it now, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, you know, let them hear, you know, a word of encouragement. But we've got a comment from the listeners, and that doesn't surprise me either, because I knew we were going to light up over this particular conversation. Let's say good morning to Shanti to hear what the listeners got to say. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm good. How are you, ladies?
Well, good. Thank you. Well.
Doing well.
What you got for us this morning that the listeners are chatting about?
Okay, so a listener sent in, I'm sad for the boyfriend that works 12 hours at Amazon. That's terrible. Like, what are you really doing after a 12-hour day? Should you even date when half your life you're at work?
Whoa.
I thought. Wow. Okay. Okay. Any other comments?
Yes, I have one more where it says, not chill. You don't even have any alone time in any relationships. You need time for God and for yourself.
Amen. 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 This is always a loaded question. Do you have a comment?
Stop minimizing my growth, Pastor Steph. Stop minimizing my growth.
What you got? What comes to your mind?
That's just like a different type of dysfunction on the female's part. Like, I know what it is to, you know, always be with your boyfriend. You know, I was always with this one particular boyfriend all the time. We worked together. We took vacations together. When I would leave that job to go work another seasonal job, we did that together. We were always together.
Mm.
Okay. But it was like, well, what was I doing? But for us to be separate, like if I'm working here and he's working there, or there were times where I wouldn't be working and he would go to work, I couldn't imagine myself just like texting him the whole day. And it was like, what are you doing, sis? And I hate that term, sis, but this is a sis moment. Like, sis, what are you doing? Like, you have nothing. Like, there's no TV shows you like at all. Like, there's no one you hate that you want to cuss out. Like, you have nothing else to do. Like, there's nothing for you to do but just sit in. Yeah, that's just a whole other level of dysfunction, in my opinion.
Well, she has a job. Because Vivian...
She couldn't have a job unless that's her job. That's her job. She works for herself.
Vivian said that she's considered even quitting her job to work with him.
To chase him around all day? Like, you gonna literally, like, physically chase him around all day? Because that's just... She set herself up to get her feelings hurt. You see, she ain't dating the right kind of person.
Well, thank you so much, Shantice, for your comments. Thank you, listeners, for your comments. Right, enjoy your day. Have a blessed one.
You too.
Thank you. All right, ladies. So we're going to go around twice, and we're going to speak to the young lady first. Okay, focus on the young lady. And if she was standing in your face right now, what would you say to her, Elder Natisha?
I would definitely share with her that I can relate. You know, again, Pastor Kim blessed me with just being so transparent, because we do. We have those moments when we all, you know, want to hold on to our affection, right, the person who we place our affection on. But I think there's something deeper that God wants for us to be able to identify about ourselves. And one, he wants to be the one in our lives that we can depend on, lean on, because he wants us to be able to soar in our own right and in our own ability. One of the greatest deliverances for me was when God delivered me from my husband. And when I talk about that in marriage settings, it sounds so crazy to say I had to be delivered from my husband, because my brokenness attached to him, and what is called is codependency. I became codependent on him, and we became codependent on each other, to where I needed, you know, we needed each other to constantly be together, to constantly, you know, feel this sense of joy. And I'll say this, that love can be intoxicating. And so what you're probably feeling, I'm talking to her, what you're probably feeling is this intoxication of, you know, of love, and something that you've never experienced before. Because if you didn't have love growing up, this intoxicating feeling of connecting to a person and feeling connected, you don't want to lose it. And I understand that, but you don't want to place it on another human being, because they're prone to fail. They're prone to make mistakes. And you can't have it that your world comes crumbling down because of another person. And so it's safer for you to actually place your affection on the one who will never fail you. It's safer for you to place your affection on the God that will uphold you, that will sustain you, that will never leave you nor forsake you, that will walk with you, that will talk with you, that will show himself to be everything that you need him to be. Another human being will never be everything you need them to be because, sweetheart, you're too complex in your makeup, in who you are. You're too complex. It's safer for you to find your footing in the one who can sustain you so that he can also build up some of the areas of insecurity in your life.
Ooh. Amen. 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 Lady Tamika, you're standing before this young lady, and, you know, you asked her, would you like me to say something to you? Can I say something to you? What would you say?
I would say that it's a beautiful thing to love. However, in this instance, I believe that it is this lady's fear that causes a dilemma. Yes, we all have moments where in the back of our minds something happens and we relate to, and the thing about that, sometimes we relate to things that have nothing to do with the individual that we're involved mm-hmm. with. It could be something mm-hmm. that happened in the past. I was in a relationship with someone and he did or he said something, and wait a minute, you said what you said, what did you say again? You know, and whatever it is that you said might have sounded like someone that I dated two or three years ago or two or three relationships ago. So now I'm putting that pressure. It's that fear that needs to come down. And the only way to alleviate fear is with God. You know, yes, we all have things that come through our mind, but you have this man on the clock at 24 hours a day. So when he clocks in at work, he can't even get his stuff done. And the other thing that concerns me is, what are you getting done while you're watching him? You know, you really definitely have to tune into God, you know, and he's watching you both 24 hours a day, you know. And the thing about that is, with every situation, regardless of what happens between you and this individual, God knows, God sees, and he can give you what you need in the middle of your relationship so that you don't have those moments where, well, you said you clocked in at 8:30 and you didn't come on Facebook Live, or you didn't come on Snapchat or whatever it is that she's using. You didn't come on until 8:45, so that you don't have those panic moments. God can give you that calm in the midst of it so that you can settle yourself, because you're thinking that you're putting something nice around the gentleman's neck, you know, and in actuality what you're doing is utilizing a weight that can actually, instead of bringing you together, it can sever you apart.
Amen, 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 amen. Pastor Kim, she's standing before you. And you're just looking at her.
Hello.
And you remember all the... Can you hear me, Pastor Kim?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. You know, she's standing before you, and you're considering all the things you just got finished sharing, and you remember the things you went through as a young lady as well. Speak to her. What do you say to her?
So, I would like just ask her, you know, can I talk to you? You know, because I'm concerned, you know, about, you know, where you are right now in your relationship. And I would, you know, try to, again, get to the root of why you feel like that it's necessary to, because sometimes, you know, it's not good to just bash a person or to just condemn them or you know, come down too hard on people. Sometimes you just have to really love on them, you know. And I was just thinking about the song that says, love lifted me. Love lifted mm-hmm. me. When nothing else could help, it was God's love that lifted me. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, a lot of times when people have not had the proper love, when people have not, or if they've had, you know, or if they were in their childhood, had some dysfunction or went through some things, you know, understanding will keep you, you know, and just understanding, you know, a person's situation, you know, it will help you to understand. So I would just pretty much say, you know, can I just give you a hug, you know, and let you know, do you know that God loves you? You know, just to love on her on a different level, because, you know, I know the times that I felt like I needed a man to validate me. I know how it feels to feel like you want to be loved. And you want to be loved a certain way, you know. And it was only when I found God that even after being married, once I got married, I realized that when I thought that I wanted a husband and I wanted certain things in a relationship, I found out once I got in tune with God, I found out everything that I needed was in Him. It was in God, you know, so we need to understand that if we seek thee first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else will be added on to us. The relationship, the love, the marriage, the ministry, the finances, the blessings, everything else. But we got to keep God first. You know, God, His name is jealous, and God is a jealous God when we put men and people and things before Him. You know, it gets God jealous. So we just need to understand that. We really need to understand that God wants to be the lover of our life.
Amen, 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 ladies. All right, so we finally got this opportunity to get this young man right in front of us. And we've heard what he's been going through. We heard that, you know, there's a girlfriend that, you know, he's with, and, you know, she's calling him, and he's got to walk around the job with her on his hip for her to see him clock in, for her to see him throughout the day and what he's doing and what his day entails. He's got to show her when he clocks out. And you know, what comes to your mind, you know, when you see him? What do you want to say to him, Lady Tamika? What words would you use for him?
Love should be a soothing and you know, not on a clock schedule, you know. I'm sure initially it probably was cute. Send me a picture of, you know, you giggle and you laugh at it for a little while. But then when it gets to the point where, you know, okay, I'm at lunch and I have to eat lunch with you. I don't, you know, when I get off for work or we're going to do a, you know, gathering, you and I are going to come together. I don't, you know, you've alleviated or removed any of that. Hey, how was your day? I don't really have to say anything because you know how my day was, you know, and I'm sure that that has to be, you know, the fact that you love is one thing, but it's just too much weight. And some alone time is definitely necessary, some pamper time for, you know, men deal with pampering themselves in different ways. You know, they don't even utilize it as a pamper time, but it is important that you have that, you know, and your one-on-one time with God is crucial because God will lead you and tell you what it is that you need to do and direct you in your life, and it's crucial for His life.
Okay. Pastor Kim, I need you to speak to that young man and talk to him about, you know, what he's going through and what he's experiencing with, you know, with being with this young lady. Do we need this? Pastor Kim? Okay. Elder Knight, Tisha, until we get Pastor Kim back, please speak to this young man.
Absolutely. I would definitely say to him that this is not love, right? You know, he may be just doing this because he's thinking that this is the relationship, this is love, this is what she needs, so I'm just going to give her what she needs because I love her. And I would want to encourage you that this is not love, that if you love her, that you would be encouraging her to healing. You would be encouraging her that, you know, to be putting you through all of these hoops, running you through all of these hoops, that's not love, that she can't love you to put this kind of weight on you. I'll say to you what my husband said to me. My husband said to me, I don't want to be your savior. I don't want to be your savior. It's too heavy for me to try to carry the load of your happiness. You are not designed to carry the load of her happiness. What she needs is an internal work, and you alone won't be able to do it. And what you will find is that today it's her making you send her pictures of your timesheet. It's today that she'll have you, you know, calling her and things of that nature. But now what happens if you move forward in your career? What happens if you get a job that doesn't permit you to do this, to be on the phone with her for 12 hours? It just so happens that right now you work in a warehouse. Unless you plan on working in a warehouse for the rest of your life, you've got to nip this in the bud. This is unhealthy. This is not love. And if you want to, if you love her, then you need to be letting her go get healed and putting a no to it, saying no to this, that this is not what I'm going to do. If we're going to be in a relationship, it needs to be a healthy relationship. If I've not given you a reason to mistrust me, then I'm not going through all of these changes. I'm not going to be on the phone with you 24. I'm not sending you no picture of the time I went to work. If I tell you I'm going to work, I'm going to work. That's that. So my encouragement to you, young man, is to put your foot down. This is not love. This is not healthy. And you are not supposed to carry the weight of making her happy.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm sorry, my grandkids started back virtual today, so.
It's
yeah.
Okay. We got you. We got you. We live with Brother Al with the children. we good. We're talking to the young man who's experiencing this of relationship and behavior from his girlfriend. What are you saying to him?
You know, I would say almost the same thing to him that I would be saying to her, because if you are in this relationship and you are tolerating this and you are accepting this, then, you know, it almost makes me wonder, you know, did you deal with some abandonment? Did you deal with some childhood dysfunction? You know, did you deal with some things that make you feel like that it's okay to be in this relationship like this? Because basically this is a toxic relationship. That's not love. And I would just encourage him to know that, you know, this is unhealthy. You know, I don't know if he's a young man or an older man or whatever, but whatever age he is, you know, he needs to understand that a relationship has to be built on trust. And if she cannot trust you and you cannot trust her and you have to go to the degree to do all of this, then this is not the type of relationship that you want to be in. You know, again, not knowing what type of person this person is, because if she's that needy, you don't never know if this person would deal with depression or a suicidal spirit, you know, because she feels like she needs you so much or whatever. But, you know, you don't want to be connected to somebody that's carrying these different kind of spirits on them. So I would encourage the both of them to maybe even go to some kind of counseling and to understand that, again, that God is love, and he wants and he's a jealous God. And when we begin to put people before him, you know, then it makes God jealous. And so we just want him to understand that you don't want to have to try to be this woman's savior. You know, you can't be her you know, you can't be her God, you know, and that love that she's looking for, she needs to try to find it in God.
Okay. Well, ladies, you've done an excellent job. You know, we got a few more minutes, and, you know, I don't want to go into the main topic because I really felt the importance of staying here today. But I also want us to help, you know, our listeners, help be their eyes. What are some of the things that you may see that indicate before we get all the way here? Because guarantee, before we got all the way here, there was something that was simmering. You know, something she did, something she said. I want to start with you, Lady Tamika. You know, what are some of the signs that, you know, she could have exemplified that she was kind of out there, or she could potentially get to this point?
So you mean before we got to the 24-hour watch list?
Yeah, before we got here, something was going on that he may not have paid attention to, that one of you said, you know, I think it was you who said, you know, yeah, when you saw it in the beginning, it looked kind of cute, ha-ha, but now you ain't laughing. What are some of the things that he
would
have seen earlier? What should he watch for?
I would say multiple texts within, like, short periods of time. I text you at 8 o'clock, then I text you again at 8:15, then again at 8:25. You know, that's definitely the beginning of there's some issues there.
All right. Pastor Kim, what's one of the things that she could have done early that could have indicated, you know, you said it, you know, you know, this may lead to depression, blah, 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 blah. What was some of the stuff in the beginning that he may have missed?
You know, just the fact that, you know, you had to have noticed that she was like a clingy type person, you know. You had to have seen some kind of sign to show you that she, you know, because if this is how you are reacting when he goes to work, then I'm sure that you couldn't have been spending every second of the day with this woman, you know. So even in the fact of, okay, y'all are in a relationship, y'all kicking it or whatever, and you see that she really wants to spend more time with you, to the event of, hey, I'm hanging out with my boys, or I'm going to my mom's house today. If you see that at this point that this young lady never wants to be out in your presence, now being in love is one thing, and just, you know, liking to be around a person is one thing. But to the point that you don't want me to go to the bathroom without you, that you don't want me to go see my mama without you, I can't have no friends, you know, without you feeling like everything, because it had to have been, I mean, if this is what you want this man to do, is to you know, keep you, you want to keep him in close proximity while he's working, then you have to have been doing something before, you know, even before the work, you know. So, so it had to have been some red flags. It had to have been red flags.
Absolutely. And that's the point. And that's exactly why we're having this conversation, because, you know, a couple of weeks ago we spoke about, you know, the DJ who goes to the job, and when you look over, this chick is sitting behind the table with him. And we're like, yo, really? Do you need the company, or does she have to be, you know, is she the clingy one, and she got to go everywhere with you? You know, go about your business, do your little DJ job, excuse me, and call it a day. What is going on that you can't even go do a DJ gig without her?
So you're right, you know. And this is what I wanted, why I'm talking about this stuff today, because we're talking about, you know, the signs. What are some of the signs? And you started off well, multiple texts in a short period of time, clingy behavior. Come on, Elder Natisha, what's one of those other signs that she could have been exemplifying the potential of somebody who's toxic?
One, I think that, you know, falling in love quickly, that falling in love super fast. You know, we just start talking a week ago, and all already you say, I love you. He's like, Miss, you don't know me.
On the first date.
Exactly. Right. I think, you know, God told me you my wife, right? At the second conversation. Like that kind of stuff. I think that's definitely a clear sign. And I think we don't spend enough time really giving credence to family history. Like part of the getting to know you.
You know, you fall, you know, you out there, you know, and that's one of the signs. You know, hey, I don't even know you, and you told me you in love. You're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right, Elder Natisha. Come on, Lady Tamika, give us one more sign that, you know, this could be a toxic relationship in a minute if I don't stop this now.
Sometimes what they do is find that thing that gets underneath your skin. For women, certain women, it could be nagging, or it could be a whine, or it could be some form of baby talk.
You didn't do such and such, so now I'm mad and I'm not your friend. And at the moment when you first do it, it's cute. Oh, it's cute. But then, you know, she finds ways, oh, I got that. So now every time that there's a situation between you and me, she utilizes that. And at first it's just, you know, it's simple things. And then after a while, now if I don't do such and such, now I got to hear the baby talk for the rest of the day. No, I'd rather just videotape myself all day long so I don't have to hear baby talk all day.
Good one. When they find that little, oh, baby, you know, do you think you want to? Oh, I'm not even a man, and I'm already sick of the wine.
Right.
Good one. Come on, Pastor Kim, give us one more indicator that you could be in a toxic relationship if you blink twice.
Well, I mean, just seeing that we haven't even met 24 hours and you don't know if I got HIV, herpes, anything, but and you trying to keep me in the bed, you know, like you trying to, you know, want to get pregnant, you know. I want to get married. I want to have a baby by you. All that in the first week.
Wow. Come on. Yeah. You know what's crazy? Don't you know some over the? Listen, everybody here. Oh no. Okay. What's your name? Elder Natisha, you ain't caught up to the 50s yet. But come on, we ain't all seen somebody after this 50, over these 50 years that somebody was like, yo, you there already? Come on, oh, it'd be nice to have his baby. Girl, you just met him.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Woo! That's so scary. Come on, Elton, I teach you. We're wrapping up this conversation with one more indicator that, you might be in a toxic relationship after you cough three times.
Right. Well, you know, we've been talking about from the female perspective of things. I want to take it from the male perspective, how a female can identify that a male is toxic. And I think it's this idea of being possessive. Like, you mine, and I don't want you with, I don't want you hanging with no other guys. You can't have male friends. Now all of us, you know, that possessiveness that we think, he loved me so much that he just want to keep me all to himself. He don't want me to have no male friends.
Uh-huh.
So that's a problem. Or vice versa. The female,
right,
who is so possessive, and, oh, you can't have no female friends. What you talking about? This has been my friend for 30 years. Well, now you got a girlfriend. She can't be your friend no more. Like, that's a clear sign.
Yes. Yes.
That's a clear sign.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Brother Al talked about that on our Men's Day about, you know, now you, you know, this he's been part of the boys all this long, and you know, he meets this chick, and now, you know, you don't even see him anymore, and you know, because they have to be up underneath one another all the time, and that's how this type of behavior that you're describing, Elden and I, should begin, because you've already started off wrong. When, you know, now you didn't left your people, or she didn't left her people, and now y'all got to be looking up in one another's face every 15 seconds. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to say, you know, well, why you got to be over there with him? Or she's going to say, why you got to be over there with, you know, that's what's going to happen. Because you have already set the tone, unfortunately. And I'm glad you brought that up, because now we can see how both of you could be very toxic in the beginning, you know? So this has really been quite a conversation. Leave it to Vivian to bring us the stories that make us drop our main topic. But, you know, this was crucial. This was crucial because we're talking to somebody today. You know, we're talking about the transparency of Pastor Kim and you, stamping that, Elder Nikesha. I'm sure Lady Tamika can raise her hand, and I'm raising both hands, you know, as to, you know, sometimes you just get out there, and if you don't catch yourself, you're going to be out there. You're going to be a whole lot farther than what you think. Ladies, you have done a fantastic job.
Hello?
We hear the music, so she must be, she'll be right back, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, while we're waiting for her, can we talk about that family history? Can we talk about that family history? I wanted to bring that family history part out because I think it's important that when in the process of getting to know a person, that you pay attention to their family history. That family history is can tell you some stuff.
That's true. That's very true.
Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you so much for keeping the conversation going on. And, you know, it's been such a pleasure speaking with each of you today and giving God thanks for all of your openness, your transparency, and your wisdom and knowledge. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. Have a good day.
You as well. Wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Woo. Fantastic. We've reached the top of the hour on a Wednesday. And what happens on Wednesdays at the top of the hour? We have our Pastor Charlene with our Faith Over Fear segment. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you? Wonderful conversation.
Good morning. It has been a wonderful conversation. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank God. I'm doing well. Y'all perked me up for real.
Amen, amen. Hopefully all the other listeners can say the same. You know, Pastor Shauna, we've talked about one thing, and that's, you know, seeing the indicators of a toxic relationship. We're talking about this lady or this female or this male, you know, we could switch it up, you know, who is exemplifying this type of behavior where you can't leave their sight and, you know, they got to know what you're doing all hours of the day, every moment of the day, 12-hour shifts this man is on, and she wants to see when it clocks in during and when it clocks out. What is that fear issue, and what? How do we replace that fear with faith?
Well, I can truly say I've been there. Not 12 hours. I didn't do that to him, but I've been there wanting to know where you were. And where it came from is lack of confidence within myself, abandonment, and the fear was because everybody who came into coming to your life, you know, some way or another, they leave. And it starts pretty much from growing up as a child. Also, it will be where that they feel that, as I think Pastor Kim said, of clinging onto them because you feel that he say, oh, you beautiful. Oh, yes, you're mine. I like the way that you walk. Oh, he will be my husband because you, your mind has gained into where that he cares for me so much. You know, in a short period of time, he became my world. And everybody else, you know, the world stopped because it's just about me and him. And that's where it will stay. So in that piece of not loving yourself, when we lack of loving ourselves and spending time with ourselves, you know, we have the tendency to put it on someone else to make us happy, to make us be able to smile. If you don't say something good to me, then therefore that's where we fall at. A lot of, especially now, a lot of people are still searching for love in all the wrong places. And whatever the tickles the ear, that's when they become where they don't want to spend no time with anyone else. So we're in the part of, that's the fearful side of it. And with him, is where have you, what relationships have you had in your life, you know, where that you felt that this was okay? And like, yes, it can be started off as it's cute. Oh, she wants to be with me. But we got to remember the men feel the same way when they are lacking. You know, they might have been a mama's boy with that. She might not be here. So they become clingy to someone as well in their life. And what is their track record of with women, you know, even in the relationships of their family or the relationships that with other women, you know, of why they like that, where he felt that it was okay to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's the fearful part of not knowing God, for one, not knowing yourself and loving you and lacking in that particular area. Now, how can we turn it around where that people have seen, people in your family have watched you, people probably have, you know, acknowledged you of, you know, you don't come to the family functions no more, you don't do this no more, y'all that much in love, that's not love, you know, and we're that we have to flip it around to show that we need to trust, it is trust issues, and believing in, whom are you believing in? Are y'all believing in each other? Well, you know what? We need to go to somebody and sit and be able to talk to them and be able to find out our past history and bring that to the table. And it will go back to the root of where this comes from, you know, because once we continue to keep doing this, we are toxic to each other. And if we have a baby, that baby will become toxic too, become the same because of what they see is what they're going to feel that is okay. So we got to be able to go to the Lord. Fathers, we don't know if they say, well, we know that they wouldn't, they not, because evidently, who can do that for 12 hours? I can't even do that. I don't even want to know what you're doing. That means you taking me in the bathroom with you. You know, it's, okay. That was a moment for me. Sorry. Just the thought of it. Where that, you know, because I've had shared that there was a couple that I used to work with, and they did the same thing. This lady, the wife, stood outside the bathroom when he went to the bathroom. He couldn't talk to nobody. He couldn't look at nobody, men or women. He couldn't have no friends. So I've seen that for myself, you know, and then, you know, you got to search yourself and know who you are in God and knowing that you do need a Savior, and it's not by man. The man will not be your Savior. Only Jesus, he's the one that got on the cross for us, and he's the only one that can be our Savior. So we have to be able to be very careful. And it doesn't only affect them, too. It affects everybody that's around them as well.
Amen.
So
amen.
That's what we have to
amen.
Do. Over here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, again, for your transparency as well. Thank you so much. And we pray you have a blessed day.
And you all do the same. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go before the Lord. You know, as Vivian reminded us that the other day, our Word Prayer Project theme was toxic behaviors, people, places, things, and decisions. And here we are walking into a prime example of that right before our eyes. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we say thank you. Thank you, God, because we can never, we can't even fathom what you have for us when you wake us up each and every day. Lord, we think we got our day planned. We got, you know, all the things laid out, but God, you have continually shown us that we don't have a clue of the blessings that you put before us each and every morning. And God, needless to say, that everybody on this morning, whether we were ministering or whether we were a hearer, we were blessed this morning, God. And only because you saw what was needed, God, whether it was someone to actually relay what they were experiencing and the rest of us hearing it and being able to check ourselves, whether it was the person speaking and revealing it and they had to, you know, kind of reflect on some of the things that they've done and where they've been and how they felt the need to speak up today, God, so that they could be a blessing to someone else. The Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for continually looking beyond our faults and finding our need, dear God. Thank you, God, for this platform. Thank you, God, for paying the bills so we can pick up a phone or we can turn on an internet. Thank you for purchasing the device, dear Heavenly Father. What some people have used and trashed the purpose of it, God, we give you thanks, God, because we're using it to bless your name, dear Heavenly Father. Whether we're a hearer today, God, and you spoke, dear Heavenly Father, and when I hang up this phone or when I disconnect from this broadcast, God, I have actually seen myself. I could actually come before you, God, and know that you have just revealed something that I wasn't even seeing myself. Something that I may have thought was a little off, God, but you confirmed it today. Thank you, God. How could we say thank you for you continually just pouring into us each and every day? God, you don't let up. And we want to say thank you. Thank you for not looking at us saying, you know what, that's enough. Thank you so much for looking at us and saying they ain't nothing but filthy rags. They ain't going to do nothing but do this all over again. I'm not going to waste my time. Thank you because you don't treat us like men. Thank you for those of us who you rescued out of this toxic behavior, God. Thank you, God, for those of us that you rescued that we didn't even see him or her coming, but you did, and you had us turn and go the opposite way. You busied us. You relocated us. You made us a focus on something else. Thank you. How could we say thank you, God, because we don't know what you're doing, God, when our back is turned? God, we don't know what you're doing when we're sleeping. Heavenly Father, we don't know how you're blessing our lives when we don't have a clue, when we're busy in ourselves with other things, when we're not thinking about you, when we are too preoccupied, when we were in our sinful state, you still called our name, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for rescuing us from this toxic place. Thank you, God, for rescuing us from this toxic person. Thank you, God, for rescuing us from this toxic behavior or decision-making, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for pointing Vivian in this direction, God, for us to have this conversation this morning.
And Lord, how many lives are going to be blessed by this one conversation? How many eyes did you just open up, dear Heavenly Father, that now when we walk and we talk to other people, we're going to see something that we didn't see before. We're going to hear because our ears are perked up, dear Heavenly Father. And we're going to hear the indicators that someone might be going through that, and we'll get an opportunity to speak to them, God. The words that the ladies said today, God, that they would that they have poured into somebody, and now they may have been seeing something all along but didn't have the words, but you put the words out there today, God, for us to pattern behind, that we didn't know what to say. We were lost, and we were looking at our sister or our brother, and we were trying to figure out, what do you say? And you answered the prayer today, God. You answered and put into order, as you always do. Here it is, right before your feet. You never sleep nor slumber, God. And how could we say thank you for that? That you don't get tired physically, dear Heavenly Father. That your son is sitting right beside you, morning, noon, and night, calling our name so that we can wake up again and say yes. Because saying yes ain't always easy. For those who are looking at us and saying, well, you know what? They got it easy. No, we ain't got it easy, right? We got the same challenges. But thanks be to your son who calls out our name each and every opportunity he gets, that we remember that we have a Savior that can deliver us from all of the toxicity that might be standing before us, all the toxicity that might be already eroding our insides. But because he calls our name, there's another opportunity to get it right. Because you woke us up today, there was another opportunity to get it right, God. We're going to pray against this lack of self-esteem, dear Heavenly Father. We're going to pray against everything that happened to you when you were little, and now it has blossomed into something that has made you something that is intolerable to someone else. We're going to pray against all the things that happened in your youth that made you confused and you can't figure out what to do, and you're torn and you're tossing. We're going to pray against all of that, all of the things your mother may have said, all the things your father may have said, all the things your siblings may have said, something that a teacher might have said. We speak against that, and we call God into its place and into order. Because once there's God, there is decency and there is order. And we rebuke the enemy from anything that he has introduced into our lives. Thank you, God, for sending your son to rescue us from all the toxicity that exists in this world, that we don't fall prey to it like we used to, that you're still cleaning us up despite all the things that we don't do anymore. We are still pressing our way toward the mark, and we can only say it's because of your son. It is nothing we have done in and of ourselves. We don't deserve it. If you had handled us according to our iniquity, we might not be here right now. And even if we were, we might not be in our right frame of mind to minister to anybody. But because you are the forgiving God that you are, you called into order all of the toxicity into our lives when we were younger. But you just plucked. You just plucked. You just plucked away. You just plucked away. You just plucked away everything. You could destroy us. You gave us another chance. How can we say thank you? It seems so small. No, we have to say thank you with our lives, with everything we say and do. That's how we say thank you for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You didn't have to call our name, but you did. And we thank you, God, for every country that is listening right now, that you had to translate in order for them to understand. And we might be in our living room. We might be in the basement. We might be driving to a job. But you have us speaking to a world. Little did we know that you had to clean us up so that you could use us right now. We could have never imagined that you would use us right now in this manner. I don't care how great our lives looked. I don't care how much we had accomplished before this moment. But we thank you for It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. We thank you for this platform, because not only are we helping those who are listening, we are helping one another. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being the light in the darkness. Thank you. Thank you that we're not this young lady or this young man any longer. That if we had the potential, you plucked it out. You took it away. How many things have you saved us from that we had no clue? We give you the glory and the honor. So rightly do your name today. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You can never say thank you enough. We can never say thank you enough for all the times that God plucked something out of our lives and we woke up the next day feeling so much different than we felt the day before. We talked about these COVID numbers and how many people have lost their lives, but how many of us have been ill with COVID, but he plucked it out. Oh, God. How many times when we brushed up against that person that we were supposed to be ill, but he plucked all of the germs from our existence. That it was raining germs all over us. That the enemy's been raining germs all over us. Enemy has rained toxicity all over us because of the blood of Jesus. So not this one. Not this one. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not this one. And you can hear my voice today. You are this one. We should have been dead. You are this one. Thank you. How do we say thank you to such a merciful God who consistently loves us through everything? Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my ladies today, the Due Time crew, for just being such a major blessing today. Thank you, listeners, for contributing to this conversation and helping us do what we do. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised. For those of us who already have accepted Christ,
Get to know him better and better every moment of the day, because later, it's not promised. There might be something missing that just might keep you out. Until tomorrow, where it's Therapeutic Thursday, God spare our lives. Love you. Thank you.